Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our journey through the events of Christ's life have come to an end, as we have now concluded the first half of the church year with the celebrations of Pentecost and Holy Trinity Sundays. Our foray into the teaching half of the church year thus begins on this day. And it begins by throwing us right back into the midst of the demonic world. Today's Old Testament reading takes us back into the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve's fall into sin, ruining God's pristine creation. Satan, in the form of a serpent, had already done his work of tempting God's first created humans. Their desire to be more like God mirrored Satan's desire for the same. Disobedience to God and obedience to Satan put them in league with the demons. When Adam and Eve then heard God walking in the midst of the garden on the cool of the day, they hid. They knew they were naked, unclothed, shamed. They knew they had messed up tragically. So they hid. From that moment forward, Satan and his legions have reigned here on earth, tempting Cain to bludgeon his brother to death, becoming the first killer. Tempting Noah to indulge in his successful self with too much of the fruits of his own vineyard. Tempting Abraham to lie to the Pharaoh, calling Sarah his sister instead of his wife. Tempting Moses to seek vengeance for an unjust deed on his fellow Hebrew by killing an Egyptian. Tempting David to keep on looking at Bathsheba while she longed for her own husband to return home. Satan and his laborers have been busy enjoying the fruits of their own efforts, of their own works. Man's wickedness since the fall into sin and the proddings of the evil realm, the demons themselves, are a devastating combination. How has the chaos of those two appeared in your life? It does not take much reflection on our own actions and the things that have happened in our lives to see the evidence that is stacked up against us. This world is Satan's house. And his house is united. It cannot fall on account of internal divisions. To many, it doesn't seem as though Satan's house can fall at all. What a strong man he is. How incredible it is, then, that the wise scribes from Jerusalem would think otherwise. They say of Jesus, who has cast out demons, he is possessed by Beelzebul, by the prince of demons. He casts out demons. They're thinking is that this man of Nazareth is in league, in harmony, cooperation with Beelzebul, with the devil himself. They think that Satan would give power to a human in order to cast out his own workers. Oh, how royally they have mistaken Jesus' identity. Oh, how they have grossly overestimated the power of Satan. By their own words, the scribes call Satan the prince of demons. But why not king of demons? Is he not the worst of the worst? Is he not the one who led the rebellion against God in heaven, according to Revelation 12? Isn't Satan this strong man in whose house all are living? Why only prince, and not the king? The answer is standing right in front of them, but they will not see it. After disproving the scribe's assertion that Jesus was working with Satan, Jesus speaks mysteriously. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed, he may plunder his house. Who could possibly bind such a strong man? Well, in any situation, only one who is stronger than the strong man. No underling could ever cast out the prince of demons. But the prince's king could. Only one stronger. Only one who is king. Only Jesus. Today's scripture readings put us back into the realm of the demonic so that we will remember where we are, who we are, and whose we are. For we continue to live on in this world in the midst of the feverish workings of this world's prince, as those who are baptized into the waters of Christ, covered with his righteousness, you also bear a mark upon you that has been locked in by the devil and his demons. They have marked you for certain death, as our hymn of the day has sung. Satan wants you to fall, and to fall hard. He wants you to lean on your own understanding in all things, especially that of salvation. And Satan isn't so much concerned with whether or not you sin, but with where you turn when you do. Will you think that your sin isn't such a big deal and keep on in it? Or will you be so scared and ashamed by what you have done that you too try to hide from God and even doubt that he will forgive you? Or will you land somewhere in between? Either way, you remain here in this world, in Satan's house. And while you are shown your sin, while you are told of this strong man, it is done so that you can see ever more clearly the forgiver of your sin, the binder of the strong man. As the forgiver of your sin and the binder of the strong man, Jesus has not entered into his earthly ministry lightly or blindly. He did not begin to teach and preach and heal the sick without any understanding that there would be opposition to his ministry. And then it would be as though he were going about doing his business and all of a sudden he was encountered by these demons. Where did they come from? How do I go about dealing with them? But instead, they do not take Jesus by surprise. They did not threaten him at all. They did not frighten him one bit. Never at any moment with an encounter with a demon was Jesus unsure of what the outcome would be. For Jesus knew who he was and the demons knew who he was. King versus prince. And the king would win every time. Following the misguided and sinister concept of the scribes, Jesus then laid out for them all what the truth really was. Jesus was no pawn of Satan. He was not given any power, authority, or permission by Satan to cast out demons here on earth. Instead, Jesus says the one casting out demons can only do so by first dealing with the demon's prince, their strong man. And Jesus' work as the binder of the strong man then is to plunder. In his earthly ministry, in his casting out of demons, Jesus is invading into Satan's house and taking his goods. Jesus, by the power of his word, as Son of God, takes back those who belong to God. His creation, and the demons, even Satan himself, are powerless to interfere. Jesus showed this by first refusing Satan during the 40 days of his temptation. And he made known his power over the demons over and over again every time that he encountered them thereafter. Satan and his minions had a pretty free reign here on earth. But rumors had been going around that God's Son would be sent to conquer over sin and over death here on earth. And those rumors became truth when Jesus was born into this flesh, and thus when he began his earthly ministry. Jesus ended the free reign of the demonic powers. His word stopped them in their tracks. His suffering and death on the cross robbed them of their power. Jesus removed the sting of death, and he removed its victory. Even now, this word of Jesus remains. His grace in word and sacraments flow freely throughout the world as his church exists in every corner. This grace he has given to you. He has bound the strong man for you. And he has kicked him out of your heart, making room for his spirit. And on the last day, the victory of Christ will be complete and seen then by all. And you will be with him forever. And there is nothing anyone or anything can do about it. Amen. Now the peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ. Amen.